welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour. I'm glad to be here. Glad you guys are here. I know you guys are thinking, hey, what's going on? That's his office with all his guitars and stuff. And this is different. Yes, we have evolved from doing the standard radio stuff to actually having a video stuff. We've been doing so many, doing so much video stuff, and we're filming a lot. A lot of you people have been keeping up with me and Patty, and we're just nonstop. She keeps me very, very busy. So we're going into this direction now. I not only wanted to share more of myself with you guys, the people who follow, and also give a chance for the people to see who I'm interviewing and get to know them a little bit more, which is very important because some of these people are just incredible, amazing people with great personalities, great smart minds, especially in the paranormal. So with that, we're giving it the next level, and hopefully we can continue this and just continue to make it better and bigger. All this stuff will also be not only streamed live to the social media pages, it'll still be played on Live Paranormal for the audio, and you can always go to the YouTube channels and be a part of it. So thank you guys for joining me tonight on My Darkest Hour. Real quick, got a lot of things to tell you. I've been filming a lot, doing some more Viacom stuff, keeping me busy. But Viacom is very, very strict on me saying anything, so that's all I can tell you so far. But it's fun. Doing a lot of fun stuff. I know everyone thinking, oh, they're giving me another documentary. We're going to go to some cemetery. Not this time. This time we're having a lot of fun, and it's still paranormal. So I will, as they tell me more things that I can tell you, I will let you guys know as well. So with that being said, I hope you guys are still going to the Paraflix site and checking out the first season of My Darkest Hour Into the Further, which has been streaming. And along with that, my guest tonight is Brian J. Laverty. You guys see him with Hauntophobia, which is an incredible series on Paraflix, season 1 and 2. Check it out. I was watching the Haunted Saloon today. Really good stuff. And we're going to find out a little bit more about Brian and the stuff that he has done. So let's go ahead and not waste any more time and bring him on. And hold on. Like I said, this is new. So bear with me. If I make a mistake, you know, we're all human. We make mistakes. So here we go. Hey, Brian.
Hi, how are you? I'm glad you said that. We are all human, and sometimes we make mistakes because I got a couple of shows that I've made a couple of mistakes on too. So
this is how we learn. And someday we'll never be true expert, but we get a little bit better each time. So
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the older we get, the better the technology gets, and we seem to be a little behind, or at least that's me.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
So hey, thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate that. We're talking a little, I mentioned a little bit about the Paraflix series and the Hauntophobia stuff. But my first question, of course, and this is the question that I ask everybody, because it's a common question and simple. But there's so many different things. A lot of people can relate to it. Some people think they don't relate to something, and they hear your story, and then they go, wow, that's just like me. Wow, I'm not totally crazy, you know, that kind of stuff. So the question is, tell us about the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning and talk to us about how you got involved in the paranormal.
That's going to be a long answer. Well, I guess it really started when I was a kid. I could see things other kids couldn't see. Especially as I got a little bit older, they obviously got a little bit stronger. But I first started noticing things when I was a child, that I would be with, you know, some other friends or my family, and I would see something, I would say something, they would say nothing was there. And so keeping in mind, my family were non-believers in the paranormal. So I really had my very, very first experience being touched when I was about 15. And I really knew at that point I was different from other kids my age and teenagers and stuff like that, and anybody else in my family. So I had a very good friend that his grandmother passed away, and it was probably about 3 weeks after she passed away, I went down to his place just to see how he was doing. And I was close to the family. I was close to the grandmother as well. And so we go downstairs to his bedroom, and I'm sitting on his bed. He's sitting across from me. And all of a sudden, I felt like something touched my wrist. It was like a hand. And then all of a sudden, I felt like a head on my shoulder. Now, I know with a lot of paranormal investigators, when they get touched, they sometimes, it feels that cool feeling or that that freezing feeling, kind of. This was the complete opposite. This was a warm feeling.
Oh.
And it lasted for about 30 seconds. And then it was gone. But during those 30 seconds, I looked to my right, and there's an indent in the bed, like somebody was sitting beside me. And I said to my buddy, I said, there's something touching me. There's something leaning on me. And I go, look beside me. And he thought I was joking at the beginning. And I go, dude, look beside me. There's something beside me. And then 30 seconds was up and it was gone. And the funny thing about all of that, when his grandmother was alive, she used to do that to me when I was over at their place.
Oh, wow.
So we knew at that point, I knew it was her. And she was basically saying goodbye. She was saying thank you. She loved me a lot. So I think that's why it was that warm feeling. And when that happened, I really became passionate about the paranormal.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was more of a fan than really going out and doing anything about it. Yeah, I could see things. And unfortunately, the family I was with, because they were non-believers, I kept it to myself. And I kept it to myself for a very, very long time. Because, again, my parents or my family were non-believers. So that negative was in the back of my head all the time. Anytime I saw something, it was always in the back of my head going, it's not there, it's not there. Remember what your parents said, but I can never get away from it. Of course, as the years gone on, it wasn't as powerful as it was when I was a kid. Now, I still do see it, but what people need to understand, I don't see facial features. What I see is a few different things. When it's a spirit, it's usually a black solid mass. Okay?
When, like a shadow figure type?
You know, it's funny. I was asked that question. It's not really a shadow. It's hard to explain, but it's definitely not a shadow figure, like a shadow man or something like that, because I know that's a very famous story. But when it's something demonic, which everybody should know in my life, demonic is a word I don't use loosely, like a lot, because I think you can have a very pissed off spirit compared to a demonic spirit. But when I see something demonic, it's usually a black smoke and it's translucent and it moves very, very slowly.
Wow.
So that's when I know when I'm encountering something demonic. So as the years went on, about 9 years ago, I did my very first investigation with a local group. And that's definitely an interesting story.
That's an incredible story, you know, and the warmth of the grandmother touching you, that makes a lot of sense, you know, because a lot of spirits that try to make contact, they do give you that chilling sensation. That's because the energy that they're projecting onto you, they're just barely kind of touching you to see how the reaction is going to be, you know. So you get a lot of that tingling because your body reacts like that. But the warm density, that's like you're talking about, that could have been her internal heartfelt emotion coming through that energy and applying it onto you. Like you say, it wasn't like a harsh grab. It's not like trying to grab you to scare you. It was just more like, hey, how are you?
It was just like a soft touch. Like,
oh, that's cool, man.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people have asked me this too. And it's like, when you say it's a warm feeling, what do you mean by warm feeling? It was very warm. It felt loving. It felt nurturing. You know what I mean? Like it was just like that mother son bond. You know what I mean? It was just
exactly.
It was incredible, and it only lasted 30 seconds. And
That's pretty good. 30 yeah, seconds is a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sticking to the story, and I'm always going to say, anytime I tell this story, I truly, truly believe she was saying goodbye.
Oh, man. So you haven't had any experience with her ever since?
No.
Oh, wow.
That was the only time that I experienced that when she was, has she passed on. Yeah.
Absolutely. And about the shadow people, I'm the same way. You know, there's people always think, oh, there's a black thing moving over here. It's a shadow person. Or I saw an image of something. I could see it through. That's a shadow person. There's differences. Hmm. I mean, there's a shadow person that looks kind of like a shadow moving, you know, simple stuff. But I've seen, and I say my first one was at Linda Vista Hospital. Okay. I was coming down a corridor, and I was talking to David about it last night.
Okay.
And this shadow gets up, but it wasn't like a shadow. And this thing was like really dark, almost like a negative ion charge coming from the electricity, but it wasn't, I wasn't getting an aggressive feeling from it. It wasn't trying to impose any threat to us. It just kind of saw us coming and just got up and went out of the way and into the other room. And I'm thinking, oh, where's this guy going? What? Yeah. There's nobody behind us. There's no shadow. Where's this guy going?
Like, you know, it's the same thing. Like when I see something, and I said this earlier, when I see something demonic, it's usually translucent and it's moving very, very slowly. And not only that, and I know when I'm seeing it also, not only because I see it, it's because of what's happening to me. It's almost like my body is shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like. And I don't think people understand that how serious it is. It's not like the TV shows. It's definitely not like the TV shows. It's totally, totally different. But that's what happens to me. So I see it. I know what it is. And then it starts affecting me like inside.
Physically. Absolutely. Physically. So then you have psychic abilities then. You're able to link with those energies.
I haven't been told that, but I've always thought that. Again, I've spoken to several mediums about my abilities, and they say you are only on the brink of what you can do. What you can do up to this point is incredible. But the problem is, because you have all that negativity in the back of your head about growing up, and you were told over and over and over again that it's fake and it's crap, you know, that negativity is still in the back of my head. And if I let that go, I would be able to completely, totally really get in sync with anything I encounter if I'm on an investigation. And they even said, I spoke to a medium the other day. If you got rid of all your tools and just did what you did and allow yourself to open up, you would be amazed what you catch.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a tool. You just got to practice with it and fine tune it, and things get bigger and bigger. And the reason why I'm asking is I am, but I don't talk about it much. That's kind of like my own secret thing that I put in my paranormal toolbox, give me an advantage. But when something negative happens, or there's something, a lower level form of energy comes in, I could feel it tugging. I could feel the energy drain. It's like an abusive thing that's not really like hurting you, but it's drawing on your energy and just draining and draining and draining. Because when you're with the higher level ones, you know, you're always feeling good. They give you the little chills and stuff, but it's a good current that you're running through versus something that we would technically call demonic sense, because there's, everyone says demonic, but there's so many different things happening. Not everything's a demon like on TV. Mm. You know, it's not like that. You can feel different energies draining you because it's all energy variances. Yeah. So I was just wondering if you felt the same way.
Yeah, and I do. And it's interesting because it just adding to a little bit of what I said before was this medium that I was talking to the other day, she basically told me that I concentrate way too much on the material things. And that's why I'm not allowing myself to open up and just put them aside and concentrate on that. And I would probably catch a lot more. They would probably talk to me. because I can't hear them. I can see them, but I can't hear them. And it's not because I don't think I can ever hear them. It's just, it's one of those things that's blocking from the back of my head, because I've been told that if I allow myself to open up, I will definitely hear them as well, but I just can't hear them. And I don't know why. I wish I could, but I'm learning. I do have somebody that's a medium that teaches me a few things here and there. But when I really came into it was in my second season on YouTube with Hauntophobia. I had a medium with me in the second season, and she taught me a lot. She taught me a lot, and she also taught me just to try to get rid of that negativity. And it's going to take you a long time to do it, but you will eventually get there.
Absolutely. And you'll be surprised. Also, you'll start hearing things like, did I just hear something? You're not sure if it's in your head or if it's an actual physical audio thing, because that happens to me all the time. I was going to get buy a bottle of gin for this ghost that I have at my theater, because it's his wedding anniversary. Because he told me his wedding anniversary is the 14th. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know? And so I sent my wife and said, hey, can you go pick up some flowers for his wife and then just get a little shot of some gin for him, so you know, we could put a little offering here, and that way he can enjoy himself with a cigar and blah, blah, blah. And she's leaving, and all of a sudden I hear vodka.
Mm.
And I'm like, I turn around, I go, really? Vodka? You want vodka? And she goes, just hear him tell you, change the order. I'm all, yeah, he doesn't want gin, he wants vodka, so it's his anniversary, get him whatever he wants.
Oh, wow, that's great. There's a, I lived in a town called Burlington, which is about 40 minutes outside of Toronto.
Cool.
And there was a statue in downtown Burlington that was famous. It was a World War II statue. And if you went down there and if you lit up a cigarette and put it on the statue, you could actually see him smoking.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, now you have to be careful, because you want to go on a windy day. Because if you went on a windy day, it's probably the wind that's blowing the cigarette, not necessarily him smoking it. But yeah, that was a famous story where I was from. It was really cool. And I actually did it, and I actually saw it. It actually happened.
And he was smoking the cigarette?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool, actually. Really, really cool.
Yeah, it is. I did the same thing that I did for this guy for our projector room. We have this projector room in this old 1928 movie palace. Okay. And he's been really mean, so I've been trying to work on it for months and become buddies. And did the same thing. I go, hey, check it out, Gary, I got you a cigar, and here's a little bit of gin, we cracked it open for you. And then the energy was just so good and fun and festive. And then I had another psychic friend of mine who's on my paranormal team sitting there. He's like, oh, he is grinning ear to ear. He is so happy right now. And I said, what is he saying? He said, he just looked at me and said, well, here's to me, and started drinking the gin. Because she can see him like symbolically drinking the gin and stuff.
Okay.
Because whatever, but it really makes a difference. These simple offerings. You know, yeah, I went and checked it today, and the gin's like almost gone. So I was like, wow, dude. Okay.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
That's
cool.
Neat.
So you have a haunt, you actually have a haunted spot.
I do. I have a 1928 movie palace that has been converted into a concert theater, and it holds 1,500 people. And I did my first episode of Into the Further there as a documentary. Okay. That I was just shooting, because we were filming so much there. When I got the Paraflix thing, they're like, hey, man, you want to do something? I'm like, I got all this material. Sure, I got to do something with it. So we started doing that. And everybody comes out and experiences the same thing.
Well, that's weird.
That's weird. Everything just kind of... What? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So, now I still got the podcast going.
We're talking about spirits and stuff like that. Something's messing with your equipment over there.
Oh, absolutely. It's probably those guys, because they mess with me all the time. Well, anyway, hey, tell us about after you got involved in the paranormal, tell us what that next step was for you. You there? Anybody? Billy Gary. Hello? Hello? Brent? Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened. All my monitors and everything shut off, and the computer's still on and everything. I'm not really sure what's happened, so I'm going to have to take it apart and figure out what's going on.
Okay, so just to let you know where I am, I'm in the back room, in the green room, and I can see your camera.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Then it looks all normal, like we just were doing it?
Yeah, oh, yeah, but I'm in the green room. You have to bring me back up.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do that without any monitors. All right, hold on. So why don't you just tell us a story?
All right, hold on.
Let me try this, all right? It's a good thing we're pre-recording. I can cut this part out.
Yeah.
All right, let me try this. All right, man. Really? You guys doing this? Really? One more out here with you. Keep right here.
There we go.
All right. So I did some paranormal investigation work just now. And it was not paranormal. It was my little puppy, Mona. She's been laying under my feet, and she's just trying to relax. And she laid back against one of the power supplies and shut off just the screens. Everything else is on. I'm like, I didn't have a power failure. All the computers are on. What's going on? But that's what happened. All right.
Okay.
So let's do this. Let's continue where we were leaving off. So one thing I wanted to know is after you had your experiences, what was the next step? Did you go start researching the paranormal? And what was, did you put a team together? What was your next thought after that experience?
Well, for quite a few years, I was more a fan than anything. I tried to learn about myself. Keeping in mind, those days, there was no internet. So you couldn't really research that kind of stuff. You had to go to the library to learn about those kind of things. And, you know, meeting a couple of people along the way that helped me out a little bit. But honestly, when it came to my abilities, I just kept it to myself for the longest time. And I really didn't do anything with it, but I was a big fan of the paranormal. And about 9 years ago, I had a friend that had some friends that had a local investigation group. So they asked me if I wanted to go out and see what it was like and maybe join the team. Obviously, they knew nothing of what I could do, and I didn't tell them. So we went out, and they really threw me into the fire, into this one, so to speak, because it was on a home. And again, I don't use this term very much, but they had a demonic, they had something demonic in their house. And it was basically only about my third time of seeing one. My first experience is when I was about 18, 19 years old. So, we're going up to the house, and they opened the door, and right there it was, in the middle of the family room. I looked over to my left, and there it was, floating in the room, translucent, moving very, very slowly. And I always say it was almost like it was trying to take over the room, or it was the owner of the room. It belonged there, nobody else. So I guess within, and this kind of, it's kind of funny. It's not funny that what was going on, but what's kind of funny is about 25 minutes into the investigation, and keeping in mind, this is my first time I'm doing an investigation, and I'm just an observer at this point. And
okay, cool.
The one person I met kept on looking at me for those 25 minutes, and it's going, what's going on? What's going on? Why are you acting so weird? And and I said, no, I'm just watching. But I knew what I was seeing because it was right in front of me. And I didn't want to say anything because, again, I was there as an observer. So about 25 minutes into it, I said, let me ask you a question. How long are we doing this for? And he turns to me, he goes, Brian, what is wrong with you? We just got here. Because I kind of wanted to leave, to be honest. And So we ended up being there for about 3 or 4 hours. This place was bad. A lot of things were happening in this place that were very bad. And so they investigated another couple of nights. I was only there the first night. I didn't want to go back. But so they investigated about 3 nights. It was so bad, they tried to bring a priest in to do something. And the priest could do nothing. The priest couldn't do anything. It was still there even after that. And the family ended up moving. They moved out of the house. And because it was bad, it was really bad. And I felt sorry for them. But at the end of the day, there's really nothing I could have done. I'm not a professional person that knows how to cleanse a place. And if her priest can't do anything, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? So that was really my first experience on paranormal investigations. Kind of a long-winded answer, but
no, that's perfect. Yeah. It's one of those things. A lot of people think, oh, if things get too bad, we'll just bring a priest in and he'll just spray some holy water everywhere and wipe it down and it'll all be good. It's like, no. TV, sure. Hollywood does that great. You know, possessions happen. They're over with by the weekend. But but in reality, it depends on what you're dealing with. What kind of energy is it? What kind of spirit is it? You know, if you bring in a Catholic priest and the spirit doesn't know anything about being Catholic or that type of theology, sometimes it doesn't work. We see that a lot with Native American spirits. They're just like, what are you talking about? I'm not going anywhere. What? This is my land. And that could be also the owner, original owner of the house or the property there, who's ground-rooted himself in there saying, this is my house. I belong here and nobody else does. So you guys get your stuff and get out of my house. And that happens.
Yeah. In this circumstance, it wasn't that. I don't know how this thing got there or who brought it there, but it definitely wasn't a previous owner for sure. And it was bad. It was really, really bad. And again, what I said earlier, for my very first investigation that I'd ever been on, you would think you would run from that and not do it again. It was the complete opposite.
Yeah. You're like, what's this guy doing here? And what's he all about? How do I know more about that? That's a great experience for your first time.
Yeah.
You know, people go their whole lives investigating and they get little tiny things and nothing really happens, but that's a good start.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. It was definitely great. And it's funny because I was talking to that medium that was talking to me the other day and telling me about, you know, get rid of the material things and stuff like that. She said, hey, listen, if you just open yourself up, you're going to experience a lot more than what you're experiencing right now. Because what she thinks is happening with me is because I can't hear them, they are coming through my SB7. Because I don't know if you've seen any of my clips or anything that I've done, but the amount of activity I get through the SB7 is absolutely incredible. I've never, ever seen it with anybody else using an SB7.
Yeah, and I've watched your The Haunted Phobia on season one, and I've gotten to the Haunted Saloon so far.
Okay.
So I see you do a lot of that. And what is interesting is you do get some great results. And I've been told time and time again, the equipment is great, but it's totally irrelevant. It's who's holding the equipment, because that is a conduit between the energy and you. So if you're holding the SB7, you're making a bigger connection with that spirit, and it's easier for it to come through and talk to you. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And once you get to the second season, you are going to be amazed. Cool. On some of the stuff that I capture in the second season, like with Blue Ghost Tunnel, Streaming Tunnel, Greenbelt Drive, the first part of Burwash Prison that just came out last Sunday. Some of the stuff I capture on the SB7 through there, like at one point we were downstairs in the basement. And it's funny because when I walked into the basement in this certain room, I saw something right away. Like I saw it. I saw the shadow or that black mass that I see, and I saw it right away. So I pulled out the SB7 right away. And cool. We got some hits, but Michael, who was with me, he was a guest on the show for this particular episode. He asked a question and said, what do you do while you're here? And it said, sit alone.
Oh, how depressing. Poor guy.
Yeah. And it was definitely, but it's just things like that, that I find, okay. I'm not seeing this from anybody else, the amount I'm getting, but I really starting, because I've been thinking about this the last few days, I'm really thinking, because I can't hear them, that's why they're coming through the SB7 and talking to me.
That's awesome. You're hearing it somehow through there, and that's the conduit that helps you communicate with them.
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah. I use a couple of spirit boxes myself, and it just makes it a little bit easier, you know, because I'm picking up on something else, you know, I want the opportunity for other people to experience that as well. So, and if they're saying the same thing I'm hearing, then that's double validation. So,
Cool. And I completely agree. I completely agree.
Is that your favorite piece of equipment?
Yes.
Cool.
SB7. You know, at the beginning when I first started videotaping my investigations, like, and putting them up on YouTube, I was using the Necrophonic. But the problem that I found with the Necrophonic is one of those I'm on the fence about. And I don't know how legit it is. So I like to use other things, like a thermal, like a voice recorder. I love to use those type of things too, because that's just validation when you're getting on the thermal and the voice recorder. It's validation that you're definitely picking something up. And when it's coming through, you're just going, wow, I just want more. I just want to get it more. And I want to capture more. I want to find out more. I want to find out, this is, seems to be a little bit of a tagline for me. I want to find out what lies beyond death.
Yeah, that'd be a good shirt.
Yeah, it is.
Find out more. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, we're looking for that next level question, but I think about things like, well, what happens after that? Mm. Is there a death after that first death? Do we evolve into something else later? I mean, we're all going somewhere but what's the next step? Is it a training station we're waiting for? Do we go to another level? I mean, it's infinite, so it's going to go on and on and on. So how do we know that it's not ever changing? We're only so close to one side of it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Very cool. Very cool. So when you started doing the hauntophobia stuff, did you start, do you use a team, or is it just you and a couple other people you bring on?
Well, when I first started hauntophobia, and I first started putting the videos on YouTube, I had another person with me. He was here from the States. He was here on a school visa. So he was going to school, and then COVID hit and he wasn't going back to school. So he moved back to Denver because that's where he was from. And so he was with me, and then I had a few camera people, and that was it. And then eventually he moved back and it just became myself. And then I brought on a more professional cameraman, and he edits my videos, and he edits my videos for Paraflix, Zach. And then he has a couple of other people, another camera person, another audio person. So cool. It's the whole full-fledged, you know, team, but really it's just me. And this particular season, the second season, it's me bringing people. Like I brought Michael Reckless Adventure came out with me on Blue Ghost Tunnel and Streaming Tunnel. So I'm kind of bringing out people with me that are on the show once. And I think it's something different.
That's cool. And that way you can bring a variety of people on and try different stuff, you know?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So really, hauntophobia is me.
Cool.
That's it. Yeah.
Excellent. I have a paranormal team, but when I'm doing my stuff, it's just me and a couple of people I'll bring on, or I'll go to a site and I investigate for like 3 days. Cause I bring in the camera crew and those guys doing the flyovers and all the real camera work stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go back and then I'll work on details of whatever location is, when I'll bring another person along, Patty will come along, or Mark Christopher Nelson, or whoever I'm going to bring, just to try different stuff. And then we start building an episode around what we're finding and making it interesting and fun for everyone.
Yeah, and that's great. And, you know, it just came down to the fact with me, I just went through so many people, and it was really, really hard to find somebody loyal and trusting. And somebody, if I would say, I'm going out on an investigation, they said, oh, I can't go. You know, and it seemed to always happen. So I just decided just to do it by myself. And if somebody wanted to come out with me, great. If not, I'll just do it on my own with my camera crew, and that's it. I don't really need anybody else, to be honest.
Yeah, so. You got recording equipment. You have everything you need, basically.
Yeah.
And when you go by yourself, there's a lot more opportunities. People will let you in more when it's just you. Just walking around, like, oh, yeah, go check it out. I'm like, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, on Greenbelt Drive, the video that came out a few weeks ago, I had my son. My son was with me, and his girlfriend and his best friend. So that was kind of the first time for his best friend on an investigation, which he thought was really cool. And then my son's girlfriend, she is kind of her first time. So that particular video, I wasn't planning to put up on Paraflix.
Okay.
Because I was doing a live through TikTok. And yeah, because we got so much evidence in this episode, we decided to put it up. But it was a really, really sad story, to be honest, of the Greenbelt Drive. But it ended up being a fantastic video, and we captured quite a bit. Yeah.
Nice.
We captured quite a bit. If you're going through all the episodes, you're going to catch up to it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. When my wife gets home, I'm like, we'll just hit that up right away. I'm like, we got to check this out right now. It's going to be exciting.
Well, you know, the funny thing is Streaming Tunnel was a fantastic video too. And that's the second episode of the second season. And that was a fantastic video. We got a question answered that has been a rumor in that video. And it's just incredible. And because there were three different stories with this tunnel, and nobody really knew which story was true. And we kind of answered it in this video, which was really cool. Yeah, it was really, really cool. And
that's awesome.
So there's three different stories. The the famous story is that there was a girl killed in a tunnel. She was sexually assaulted, and then she was set on fire to get rid of the evidence. That was the more popular story. The other story was a girl's parents were going through a nasty divorce, and the father set the home on fire, and the girl was still in the house.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so the story goes that she ran down to the tunnel because she didn't live too far from the tunnel and to hide, and she later died of her injuries because she was severely burned. So that's another story. But in this, and I don't want to give everything away because you haven't seen it yet.
No.
But in this particular section of the video, I asked, did a little girl die in this tunnel? And something along that lines. And on the SB7, I got burnt from home.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, it's near the end of the video. And
how sad.
It's absolutely incredible, but sad at the same time. Really, really sad.
Wow. Out of the seasons you've done so far, or basically through your investigative work, can you tell us about probably the most intense or kind of life-changing, if maybe, experience that you had?
Yeah, I did an investigation last year, and I believe it's in the episode that you might be watching now. The salon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that video was probably my most intense moment of investigations because I was choked in that video, and that probably was one of the scariest moments for me on investigating. Like, I've been touched and stuff like that, and nothing that's, you know, going to blow people away, like maybe a little touch here or touching on the arm or as a child or as a teenager, you know, leaned against. But in that video, when I was choked, that definitely changed my mind about a lot of different things.
Did you actually feel the chokingness, or just if something happened and you lost your breath?
No, what basically happened is I started coughing, and it felt like there was a hand around my throat, and it was getting tighter and tighter and tighter until I couldn't breathe. And I ended up having to go to the basin and take a drink of water. And actually, Zach stopped filming for about 5 or 10 minutes because it was a real, real scary moment. For me, at least.
Absolutely. Because the reason why I'm asking is a year ago, I did the first paranormal investigation at the American Horror Story Mansion, okay. The Rosenheim Manor. And it was me and Bishop Long doing this thing. And I'm standing on the side, and I just felt like this, like my throat closed, like something like almost like pushed on my throat. And I started coughing, and I couldn't catch my breath. Mm. And I was just like, just coughing, and they're filming. And I'm like, I'm trying to get myself out of there while we're doing this live feed thing. Mm. And I had to leave, and it took me a while to try to catch my breath. I had to like sip on some water and try to recompose myself. But it felt like I was kind of being like choked a little bit.
Yeah,
I didn't feel the pressure of the hands. Like you said, it was getting stronger and stronger. I just felt it, and I just had to get out of the room.
Yeah. Well, when it started, I coughed once or twice, and then my voice started changing. And the person I was with, she's going, "Why is your voice changing?" And then all of a sudden, bam, it felt like I couldn't breathe. And I actually said on the video, "I can't breathe." And I walk away and go to the basin. It was one of the scariest moments that I've ever encountered on an investigation. And at the same time, and people might think this is crazy, but it was kind of cool.
Yeah. It's like, wow, that was horrible. I was just choked. Do it again. Do it again. Yeah. So, well, but that's what we live for. We live for these moments. Like it's scary and exciting, and yeah, we want to know more. So,
yeah. And
that's
it's
why we do it.
And the third part of that, that series, it's in a Lego store. That is just bizarre. And you will see in the video, we actually show a picture of an apparition that was caught on security camera. And you see the legs, you see the torso, but there's no head.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. And this was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and his store was closed, so there was nobody there. And he went through this because anytime something goes in front of the camera, it's captured, and then he's notified through his phone. So when he went back to the store, went to that spot, and there it was. And it's crazy. And we put it in the video for the Lego store, the picture.
Did you figure out what that spirit was and why it was there? And where was the head?
Well, there's a few different stories of this place. We found out by doing our research, not necessarily the stores have been there a long time. There was a hotel there at once, and it burnt down, and 6 people died in the fire.
Oh.
Now, they say that it was actually set on fire. It was caused. Somebody set it on fire. So we were actually thinking at one point of the negative energy that was there, who did the choking to me, was maybe the person that set the hotel on fire. But even on top of that, this is the main part of the War of 1812, this town.
So it's got a lot of old history. Wow.
Yeah. So there's about 50 stores on this street, and every store has had an experience with something. Every store on that street. And I did 4 stores on that street.
Wow.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like just sitting in a certain spot where all that activity happened.
I don't know, but every store is experiencing something on that street, whether it's somebody from the War of 1812 or the hotel or something else, because not only did a lot of soldiers and Indians die in the War of 1812, but a lot of the community people died in that town too. So there's actually a haunted museum that I'm hoping to do an investigation for Paraflix there. So
that's cool. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. There's quite a few places that I want to do, but getting to them is another thing, because we just heard today that Canada might go on another lockdown in September.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I hope not, because I'm supposed to fly down to North Carolina. So to do a bunch of investigations there, and then travel back and go through New York and do a couple of places there. So I can put them all on Paraflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, I hope you get to do it. I hope that happens.
Yeah. You know, there's not much we can do about it. So.
Well, we just do the best we can and try to plan for it, you know, so.
Yeah, that's all we can do.
So if you have to film as much as you can, at least when you're in lockdown, you got plenty of time to edit film.
Yeah. You know, there's an investigation coming up on the 11th that I'm doing. It's in a home. And I've been told that they're seeing the shadow man.
Mm.
And so it might, this guy is also a paranormal investigator. He wants me to come and investigate his home. And
cool.
He thinks, and I don't know if there's any truth to this or not. I'm going to find out. But he thinks it has something to do with the djinn. So we'll definitely find out. Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to find out, but that video is definitely going up on Paraflix.
Absolutely. We don't get enough gin videos out here.
Yeah, I don't. I love home investigations.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, I love them. Those are the best.
So any paranormal events coming up for you anytime soon? Like, you know, I know you said you're going to investigate them, but what about, do you do the Paracons and all the speaking events?
Well, I was supposed to do Dallas this year, but unfortunately Dallas got canceled. So, I'm going to be doing Dallas next year.
Okay.
Because it's going to be back on next year, but I'm going to be going down as not only Hauntophobia, but I'll also be going down as Parapost Network.
Yeah. What about the Parapost? I saw your little community thing. Tell us about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, Parapost is basically a site that I brought to a friend of mine, and he was very interested in doing it. So we decided to do it, and it's a website or it's a social media site for everything paranormal and underneath the umbrella. And it's even for enthusiasts too, people that just love the paranormal and they want to come over to the site, become a member and interact with everybody that's on the site because it's community-based. So it's not one of those things where like Facebook or something like that, where you have to friend somebody in order to talk to them. It's not like this. This is all community-based. So everybody that's on the site that's posting stuff, you get to see their stuff and you get to interact with them. And that's what we wanted to do. And it's even in the last couple of days, it's growing and it's growing fast. And people are really, really enjoying it. And that's why we built it. So people can, you know, learn about other investigators, learn about haunted spots. You know what? You should come over to Parapost and put your haunted spot, because we have a section in Parapost where you can put your haunted spot and people can click onto it. If there's a website or if they can book an investigation there, they can do it through our site. And it's called Haunted Spots. And all you do is go in there and tag your haunted spot, and there's a map. And it you get a little tag for your on the map, and people can check it out and see if there's any links. I'm not saying about yours, but everybody else's that's putting up there. I think we got about 24 haunted spots up there right now across Canada and the States. So our main goal is to hopefully get thousands on there across the world, and that's the goal. But the site's doing absolutely incredible. We've only been in existence for 4 months, and right now we're getting over 12,000 views a month on the site.
Wow. See, fill the need. Everybody's waiting for that.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about the community and stuff, but there's like no real community to go be a part of. Well, now you created an online site where everyone at home that wants to know about more about paranormal stuff, looking at places, techniques, interviews, whatever it is, they have a hub to go to learn all that stuff.
Yeah. And it's awesome. Yeah, and it's not only about the paranormal. It's also about UFOs. It's also about cryptics. It's also about supernatural. Anything under the umbrella, it's on our site.
Yeah, that's all paranormal stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's great. And me and Mike are really surprised and thrilled that people are enjoying the site. And that's why we created it. And there's a lot of features coming up. And somewhere down the road in the next year, people will actually be able to go live on the site and do live investigations on the site. And that's eventually what we want to do.
That's awesome. I do those live feeds where I'll be in a haunted spot and I'll just walk through and I show everybody who's watching the live feed stuff because they can't get to some of these places, you know, and they're interested. And so they'll tune in and it gives them a chance to like almost like virtually walk around and see all this incredible stuff. And if something just happens to happen, there it is. You know, they're a part of it. Maybe they could see something I'm not seeing and let me know in the comments or whatever that, hey, what was that thing? I saw something. I heard something. Go check it out. You know, so they're part of the investigation too. So I love all that stuff.
And this is what's great about our site. Eventually we will have that. But if you go to like all these other social media platforms, you might find a live here and there. But if you have a site where it's strictly paranormal investigators, we could have 20 lives going on at once, and you just go in there and choose which one you want to watch. And that's the goal. You know, we could have like 40 lives going on at once, and that's what we want to do. And we really think people are going to enjoy that, especially the enthusiasts, you know, people that love the paranormal and other investigators. We think it's a learning experience for other investigators too. You know, an investigator can go on there and learn something, not just, you know, watch and go, oh, well, that's exciting. They might see something in that video that go, oh, I'm going to try that, you know, and see what kind of response I get. And that's why we did what we did. And the site so far has been very, very successful.
That's awesome. Yeah, I looked at it today and it was like cool. And I'm like, wow, it's an actual community. So thanks for making that for everybody. It makes it a lot better.
Yeah, well, we still have a long way to go, but we will definitely get there. So, but thank you for that. I appreciate it.
No problem. And for those who want to reach out and ask you questions or maybe get a hold of you, is that a good site or what be the best way for people to get a hold of you?
That would be the best way because I'm always on that site and people can follow me. People can friend me. It's okay. Just because I have the blue check mark doesn't mean you can't friend me. So, but they can contact me on there. They can contact me on Twitter, which is Hauntophobia, Instagram on Hauntophobia again. I'm even on TikTok, which is Hunt_A_Phobia. So I'm on and Facebook too, which is Hauntophobia and Friends. And those are all the platforms where they can contact me. And please don't be afraid to reach out. I answer all kinds of questions all the time. And if somebody needs some help on a paranormal experience that they're encountering at home, maybe, and then they live in the Ontario area, I will definitely come out and investigate and help you get answers.
That's awesome, because people need help out there, and sometimes they don't know where to go. So that's awesome that you're reaching out to them.
Yeah, for cool. sure. Because I love it, right? I love it, and yeah. I love everything about it. And if I knew about this when I was a lot younger, I probably would have started a long time ago.
well, now it's time. So I'm glad you got it going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. We are getting close to wrapping. So I wanted to make sure that everyone got your information where they can reach out to you. I have all those platforms and I love the TikTok thing. Just posting your videos and your photos, all the things you can do with it and make it more interactive and all trippy. I do those and I use those and I post everywhere else. I get lazy after a while.
Yeah. Well, I think we all do in some aspects, but you know what? Like, I even try to do lives on TikTok. Like, I try to do lives at least once a week, but the last couple of weeks I haven't. But I'm doing an investigation this weekend for Paraflix, and we are going to go on live on TikTok for a little bit on Saturday night so people can see it. It's a great place. It's a World War II prison camp. So it's going to be a wild investigation, but again, you can watch it on TikTok, and we'll probably go live for about an hour until we actually get into the real investigation. So
that's cool. Letting people check it out and seeing what's happening.
Yeah. Well, you have to interact, right? That's the only way that you get fans and you get people watching your shows, right? So, yeah.
They get excited and they tell their friends, and all of a sudden their friends tell friends, and you just got a whole crowd tuning in. So it's exciting.
I have a person that messages me on Instagram at least every week. Are you doing a live this week? Are you doing a live this week? I want to watch your live. I want to watch your live. You know, sometimes it's tough, you know, because life gets in the way sometimes and you have other priorities, right? So
absolutely. So one thing I do with the social media guys, I'll pick a platform where I'm going to stream a section from that week. I post that I'm going to be doing it on all formats, and I'm only doing one format. So they're going to have to go sign up with the other platforms to be a part of that one section of a live feed. Mm. You know, just keep it interesting. It's like, all right, I'm here on Facebook. I'm going to be going live on TikTok next week from the hollow wall where we think the bodies are buried, you know, and they'll have to go up and try to find it and be a part of it. So
yeah, and that's true. But sometimes I find that Facebook, when you're out and about and you don't have your internet, I find Facebook live is not very good. I find that live on TikTok a lot better. So that's kind of why I stick with TikTok rather than Facebook Live. I just find Facebook Live has so many problems when you're out, when you're outside and stuff like that. I don't know why it is, but I just prefer TikTok over a live than anything. So, and also I will let people know you can find me on YouTube also under Hauntophobia.
YouTube. Always. Yeah.
And what I do is I put out clips of my investigations of things I've captured.
Yeah.
So I was putting out full videos, but now it's just mainly clips. So I'm way too busy to go through any editing and stuff like that.
Yeah, it takes forever. People don't realize that. Like, oh, you filmed it. Put it up right now. Let's watch it. It's like, in a couple of weeks, guys.
Yeah, it's a lot to it. I'm glad I have Zach because he does all my editing. And actually, he just sent me the Burwash Part 2 video, which is complete. So I'm going to watch that today, and it's going to be up on Sunday.
Awesome. Everyone hear that? Make sure you check that out. Awesome. Well, Brian, thank you for spending some time with us and letting us know about what you got going on. It sounds real exciting. You're a very busy guy as well, and it's awesome that you're keeping it going for everybody and sharing it with everybody. That's the most important part.
Yeah. I really appreciate you having me on. It was a lot of fun. It was
yeah,
great time.
Even the blackout was amazing.
Yeah. Well, that was, you know, I thought that might be something paranormal, but unfortunately it was your baby, I guess. So you liked it.
Yeah.
It was a dog. Sorry. It was a dog, right?
Yeah. It's my little puppy. She's not feeling good. She got a bite and she's miserable right now. So
that's terrible. That's
terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. A lot of fun. It was great. It was great meeting you. I hope we get to meet up again.
Absolutely.
I'd love to see your theater.
Well, if you ever make it to California, let me know. We'll go over there. Everybody likes to check it out.
Yeah. What's it called? Your theater?
It's the Majestic Ventura Theater.
Oh, okay. Yeah. David was telling me about it today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I invited them out because they wanted to come.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to see your theater. I'm going to California. I'm like, well, then when you're on your way, let me know. You know, then you, me, and Patty will head out there and we'll open it up and fire it up and hang out with all the spirits. Because there's a lot. And there's so many of them. And, you know, some of them are like definitely there for working there and being a part of the theater. Some are like past performers that come back. It's such a weird vibe, but it's all so good. You know, that's why I started doing sections of Hauntings from the Theater, doing it for social media. Okay. Because when I did the documentary, there was a lot going on. But I learned if I do one section at a time and spend some time with those spirits in that room, they interact way more and they just get into it. So I'm just continuing doing that. And Patty likes to use it because we're testing something out or we want to film something and trying something out, or we're bringing some producers in. We'll test everything out there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's awesome to have that.
Yeah.
I'd love to own a haunted spot. I really would. I think that would be so cool.
You got to come out and check it out, man.
But I'm telling you, you got to go over to Parapost and you got to put that haunted spot up on the haunted spots because I think people would love to see it.
Yeah, definitely. I got some people asking about it. I got Zach and those guys interested in coming out. And of course, I've had the guys from Ghost Hunters ask me about that. One of the guys from Ghost Hunters walks by my office like all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just kind of like looks at me and then he'll walk by. I know these guys like all the time. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, fun stuff.
I'd love to meet all of them. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. Well, all right, man. That's going to be it for us. I'm going to let you go so I can talk about my sponsors real quick. But thanks again. And we're totally going to have to do this again. Now that I got this thing working, that we'll do this more often.
That's awesome. That's great. And thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Brian. Thank you. And you have a good evening. And enjoy your haunts and good stuff. If you ever have something to promote, you know, hit me up. We'll get you on the show. And we'll just promote.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you very much.
All right. That. All right, buddy. Have a good night then.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Brian. So that was Brian Laverty from Hauntophobia. Make sure you go to Paraflix, which I'm always talking about since I'm on Paraflix, and Roku TV. You can also get the Paraflix on there and check out his streaming series. One and two is happening now. I'm in the middle of one, and I'm really enjoying it. I definitely highly recommend it to everybody. So go out there and check it out. With that being said, I want to give a shout out to my sponsors, of course. Everybody over at Paranormal Technologies, PTech, Mike and everybody making all those awesome tools that we use in our paranormal investigations. Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creations, making all those wonderful scarves and protective clothing that we wear. We're going through those cold, lonely night asylums. Chili Man Salsa, making some of the best chili flavored salsa that you can possibly imagine. There's no vinegar in that stuff, so you're not getting a vinegar taste. You're getting all the flavor with a lot of heat, so can't pass it up. Daniel's Toy Empire, I want to give a shout out to them, making things happen. If you're looking for those toy collectibles, hit them up. They got a huge collection. They will find what you're looking for. And if you tell them you got the message from My Darkest Hour, they will give you the hookup, guaranteed. So that's going to be it for me. We'll see you guys next week. when we do this again, and we will talk to you if you're going to go out investigating this weekend. Make sure you investigate safe. And that'll be it for the show. So good night, you guys.